This show is brought to you by the Email Laundry, making email safe for your customers. Visit www.theemaillaundry.com/tublog for a very special listener offer and to have your MSP's domain filtered by the Email Laundry for free.
You're listening to Tub Talk, the podcast for IT business owners, with our featured conversation with Richard Tubb and James Kimberly of Kimberly IT. My name's Jeff Nicholson, and this podcast is all about helping you grow your IT business. In this episode, Richard talks with James Kimberly, the founder of Birmingham-based Google business specialist Kimberly IT. A serial entrepreneur, James owns a property company and used to run a web design company. He's also been a consultant for TV program The Gadget Show. James gave Richard an update on Google Next 17, an annual international event where Google share the latest technology updates with partners and selected delegates. They talked about new Google tools to help small business owners and MSPs. This episode was recorded via a video call between Richard at home in Newcastle upon Tyne, England, and James in Birmingham. And now, without further ado, here's Richard Tubb talking with James.
Hi, everyone. Richard Tubb here, and I'm joined today by James Kimberly, an old friend of mine. James is the founder of Birmingham-based business specialist, Google business specialist, I should say, Kimberly IT. Now, James is a serial entrepreneur. He owns a property company. He used to own a web design agency that worked with the likes of ITV and other big companies. And he's also been a consultant to the television show, The Gadget Show. So lots of reasons that James and I get on. But the reason for our call today is to talk Google. Now, James, you recently visited Google Cloud Next 17 at the London Excel Centre, didn't you?
That's correct. So it was last week. Google had They have an exhibition called Next 17. They had it over in San Francisco the month before, and it came to London last week and down at the Excel Centre. So I went and visited it to see what they had on and what they were showing.
Fabulous. So perhaps we can talk a little bit about more what you found out from the Google Cloud Next 17 event. I know Google Cloud Next 17, there's going to be other dates in Tel Aviv, in Amsterdam, Madrid, Milan, and Tokyo. So it's a real worldwide thing. And I think Google are making some of the live streams available to watch online as well, aren't they?
Yeah, the keynotes are normally recorded, and they seem to be recording the breakout sessions, but they haven't yet uploaded them onto the Google Cloud YouTube channel, right, which everyone who's interested in Google should subscribe to. The breakout sessions don't seem to be on there yet, but they're probably the more interesting parts, actually.
let's get your expert insight into some of the developments there and what's happening in the Google world as a whole, if we can. The first thing that sort of struck me was this announcement that Google made about the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR. Every bit a mouthful as I thought it would be. Tell us a little bit more about that. Google have said that their Google Cloud platform is going to be ready by May 2018, I believe.
Well, the GDPR comes into force in May 2018. So they're planning, they'll have it ready before May 2018. So they're actually slightly behind Amazon and Microsoft on that. I think Microsoft's the most ahead. I think there might even be GDPR ready now.
It just falls off the tongue, doesn't it? Yeah
exactly. Google will be ready for that, and will meet all the requirements that are requested in that that regulation that's coming into force.
Sorry to interrupt, Giles. I was going to say that's going to make sure that the Google apps, or should I call it Google Suite now? What's the terminology Google use for it?
Well, it's actually Google Cloud Platform, and G Suite is an element of Google Cloud Platform. So you've got all the other stuff that Google does on the cloud, but G Suite is one element of the whole Google Cloud Platform package.
Yeah, and there's three different levels to it now, isn't there? What I would call, so I use Google Apps within my business, and I think I'd probably use Google Apps Basic now. But there's two other versions, or three versions in total, isn't there?
Well, first off, it's not called Google Apps anymore. It's now G Suite.
There you go. I use G Suite. I don't use Google Apps.
you're on G Suite Basic. They have G Suite Basic, G Suite Business, and G Suite Enterprise. Previously, they just had the two. So they had, well, they had an old legacy one, which was free, but you couldn't get that anymore. They had just G Suite and they had G Suite Unlimited, but they've just renamed it and they've added the enterprise element to it as well now. Because a lot of the stuff they're working on is to fine tune G Suite so it really works nicely for big enterprises. It's great for small businesses and mid-sized businesses. But I think they were having issues getting big enterprise businesses to sign up. Clearly, they had a few because they had Virgin Atlantic. I think ITV is one that used it, and of course, Google itself. But it just didn't have all the functionality, especially on the data storage side of Google Drive, that enterprises were after. But now it's really enterprise ready. It works really nicely with the changes they've made, especially to Google Drive.
I've already alluded to the work that you do with Google Apps or G Suite, I guess I should call it now. It's not going to work with me. It's going to be Google Apps for as long as I can mention it. But all of your clients that you work with on a day-to-day basis are all Google Apps users, aren't they? And you've built your whole IT business around Google Apps, really. Tell me a little bit more about Kimberly IT for people who are not aware of them.
Yeah, that's correct. So Kimberly IT, we work with fun, young and growing companies. We're very specific with who we work with, as you can see with the strap line we've got there. So the idea is anyone who comes and works with Kimberly IT as an MSP, as a partner with them, will be using the Google Cloud platform. So they will stop using Microsoft's platform or Amazon's platform. Everything will be moved to G Suite and any other functions they need in Google Cloud. Of course, we offer the support for the devices that they're using to connect. But the nice thing is we have like a standardization across our platform with all our clients. We're kind of like very close to the McDonald's of IT support. In that everything functions the same, which makes it very easy for us to support clients really quickly. We also have access to Google's support department of thousands of people if we need to. It's just having that consistency throughout just helps run the business nicely.
Yeah, and it's probably well documented that I drank the Google Kool-Aid a few years ago and moved across from Microsoft. Google's the best fit for my business. And actually, Kimberly IT were the company that helped me get on board with Google. So thank you for that. And but before we go any further down that road, talking specifically about Google Apps or G Suite, see, it's still not going to change. Let's talk about what new features are coming to G Suite. So when you were at the Google Cloud Next Expo, what were Google specifically talking about as new features that are coming to G Suite?
Well, they had a big slide up of lots of features that are coming through 2017. It was too big for them to go through, and it'd be too big for me to go through every item on our podcast here. But there's a few key ones that I'm really interested in. One's already launched. That's Team Drive. So Team Drive is a new area of Google Drive, which makes it very easy for you to share documents and files and folders with your team and within your company. Previously, you'd have an area called My Drive in Google Drive, where whoever uploads the data is the owner of that data rather than the business being the owner of the data, which can cause issues with sharing and things like this. So, you, for example, you could create a master folder. Someone else could then create a subfolder inside, which they're owner of. You could then put a file inside that subfolder, and then the person who creates that subfolder decides to delete it. So where does your file now live? Because the folder it's in has been deleted. But so it just kind of vanished, and you had to go and search for it to get it back. But now Team Drives, everything is in one place. So you create our strategy to do it is every client a company has, you should create a Team Drive for each client. You then use the built-in mailing lists in G Suite. So when someone comes on board, you put them like in your internal mailing list and they'll have access straight away to those drives that they need access to, rather than having to go, oh, Sonia, can you share that with me? And again, getting access that way. They have instant access to it. You have some extra controls over the files in there as well. So you can kind of have an admin of that Team Drive who has full access and can do whatever they like inside that Team Drive. Like move files around, rename them, delete them, things like that. But the new function is you have one called Edit Only, which what that does is, so if you're a team leader and you've got five people in your team, you can give the remaining five people in your team Edit Only access. What that allows them to do is upload new files, create new folders inside this Team Drive, and edit stuff that already exists. But they can't then go and delete stuff that they're not allowed to delete because they get blocked from doing that. They can't then go and move folders around to wreck the file structure you've got inside that Team Drive. which is really nice. It gives you more control over who has access to the stuff in Team Drive. So you can share individual files externally, but you can't share a whole folder externally, because you may have a folder inside that Team Drive that has that someone then say you've got a folder inside Team Drive. Remember, everyone can see what's inside a Team Drive who's a member of the team. If you go and share that externally with a client, and then someone uploads a file into that folder that, hey, you may not want your client to see, that's not a great idea. So you can only share files individually outside the company. So it gives you that extra control over what people can actually see and do that aren't part of your company.
Yeah. So it seems as though this is a product in re-maturing then, Google Drive, right?
Yeah, it's this is the part designed for enterprises. Because enterprises didn't like the lack of control that you had previously on Google Drive, as I just mentioned about the ownership. So Team Drives gives them all that control that they want. You can have Team Drive admins who just monitor what's going on Team Drive. They create Team Drives. They can remove Team Drives. They can add and remove members. So it gives you all that extra functionality that big companies are after. And it's a bonus for mid-sized companies and small businesses, because it gives them more control over their data as well. And there's no extra charge on that. It's just included with Google Drive.
It's good to see where it's going. Now, there's a feature that I think is associated with Google Drive or Team Drive that I'm quite excited about as a Google Drive user, and that's a Drive File Stream. Tell us a little bit more about that and perhaps explain why I'm getting so excited about it.
I just got a big smile on my mouth when you mentioned that, because it's it is a game changer for Google Drive, without a doubt. So what File Stream is... Yeah, on a Mac or a Windows PC, it will map a drive to your computer. Just so it happens to be called G Drive. If G is available and it hasn't been used by something else, it will map itself by default as G Drive onto your computer as a map drive. The cool feature about it is, rather than it downloading all the data that's on Google Drive, it just downloads your thumbnails, your shortcuts to the files in there. So when you double click on one, it will quickly, normally within 6 seconds, have the file downloaded onto your machine, ready for you to use. It will cache files that you use often. So using a bit of AI in the background, it will work out what files you're most likely going to be opening and using, and it will cache them locally on the machine just to make them a bit quicker and to make them available offline. But the nice feature is it gives you a bit, because it's a map drive now, essentially the computer thinks it's connected to kind of a server, and it isn't really, but for the computer, it thinks it is. So I'll give you an example of a client we've got. We've got a client that manufactures curtains, and they use a bit of software which is designed specifically for curtain manufacturers. They haven't, this bit of software is very old, because the company that makes it has no competition. So there's only one company you can buy this software off, and they don't really update it. So at the moment, we had to, because they're fully cloud and they have no servers, we had to stick the data files on a NAS drive. And have all the machines mapped to the NAS drive for these data files, because if you put them into a standard sync client program, that would actually cause the whole program to stop working and breaking. It just couldn't do it. But now, because of the map drives, we can actually have these files sitting on Google Cloud and just mapped to the computer, as I said, just like it's a server connection, and that program can now live in the cloud without having to be on a local NAS drive.
So this is going to open possibilities for lots of online and business applications to be able to be used in this way.
That's the reason Google said they're doing it. They actually mentioned that in when they were announcing it at the keynote in San Francisco the month before. But yes, the idea of this is to allow legacy programs to be moved over to Google Cloud and run off the cloud without affecting the local machines.
Well, I'm excited about that from my perspective, because it means I'm going to be able to, instead of syncing all the data to my local machine, I'm going to be able to connect to my Google Drive directly and just access files natively, have a drive letter. So it's a little bit old-fashioned in the approach, or let me rephrase that. It's a little bit more traditional in the approach, so it'll seem an obvious thing to a lot of people perhaps who aren't familiar with Google Apps. But from the Google Apps perspective, or the G Suite perspective, it's really going to work well, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that Dropbox and Microsoft OneDrive are going to try and bring out similar features anyway. It just makes sense.
Yeah. So let's shift gear a little bit. Let's talk about, we've talked about all the awesome features of Google Drive and G Suite. Let's talk about something that I think is a little bit neglected, and that's Google Plus. So Google Plus, for, you know, it's been around for a long time now as a social media platform. It never really took off in the way that, you know, as the Facebook killer or anything like that. It's got its own following, definitely. I've got a lot of value out of it over the years, but it's never really taken off as a mainstream social media platform. I'm intrigued to see what Google are doing with Google Plus, and specifically how they're going to make it useful to small businesses. Perhaps tell us more, a little bit more about what you learned about their plans for Google Plus.
Yeah, Google Plus is a very interesting product in that it has actually got a lot of development being taking place on it. Very small things happening all the time. But it was a few months ago that Google Plus got moved into class as a core service of G Suite. So you've got a number of core services like Gmail, Google Drive, Google Calendar, Hangouts, those kind of things. When it becomes a core suite, it means it's not going to disappear. It's going to be there for a while before it ever gets sunsetted or anything like that. It's not going to go away in G Suite. But it also means that the focus has changed from it being a social network to more of a social platform for business to use internally. So the key announcement that I saw there, which they haven't given an announce date, is they're going to actually give you the option to turn Google Plus into a walled garden for your business. So at the moment, you can set it. You can, as an admin, you can say, by default, I don't want a user to publish a post publicly. But a user can actually override that when they're posting a post if they wanted to at the moment. But with the walled garden version, there's no possibility of that. I feel it's going to become more of a dashboard for your business.
Yeah.
It's going to be the main point when you log into G Suite for the first time, you're going to gain. You could potentially have yourself set up so you go straight to G Suite, and that's going to have all your notifications, all what's been shared inside the business. So it's kind of like a social network for a private business, but it's going to have far more integration with Google Docs, Drive, and things like that, and Calendar.
So the big question that jumped out at me with this one, and I want to see if you, if I'm thinking on the right lines, is this a competitor to Slack, maybe, or is it off the mark? Do you see it as something that can grow to rival Slack?
I wouldn't say this is the competitor of Slack. I think when we talk a bit later about the new Hangouts, that is the competitor to Slack.
Right.
Google Plus is probably the competitor to the equivalent of, well, Microsoft has an equivalent in 365. I can't remember what it's called. Do you know what it's called? I can't remember the name.
Off the top of my head, I don't, because as you know, I've drunk the Google Kool-Aid, but I do know the products that you're talking about there. But yeah, so I see. So it's Google's version of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Google were pitching it as a way of getting to know your colleagues inside the business. For example, in Google, they were saying what they have. They have like a community on Google Plus called How Google Really Works. And people are sharing tips on there. If you need to get a new computer, this is actually how you go about getting a new computer. Maybe this is how the documentation tells you. But if you become friends with so-and-so, you know, you're going to get this new computer a bit quicker. So it's kind of things like that, just to show, just sharing that. But you can also do project work on there. So you can basically build a little community that could be around a client, and that's where you share all your content about that client with other people in the business and ideas that you want to spread around.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that develops. And Microsoft Teams, I've just ironically enough Googled on it, James, to find out what it was called. And Yammer was the one that kept coming to my mind. But a little bit like Google Apps and G Suite and things, Microsoft do like moving the names around a little bit over time to time. So I get confused. But we've talked about Google Plus. Tell us a little bit more then about what you're excited about with the progression of Google Hangouts. For those people who are listening into this as a podcast today, we're actually recording this live over video as well as a Google Hangout. For people who are not familiar with Google Hangouts, what are they and what are the new features that are coming up for them?
Okay, well, first off, Hangouts is a bit of a mess at the moment, which you're probably surprised that I'm saying that. Google's messaging strategy has gone a bit funny in the last year or so. They kind of missed the boat on the consumer Hangout side with WhatsApp and things like that. So they decided to remove quite a few of the features from Hangouts and put them into but launched another app called Allo for consumer users, yep, which hasn't taken off. It's been a complete flop. And they've got Duo. But going back to the Hangouts, they announced that Hangouts would be basically designed for business. So it'll be the business messenger, will become that. So they get rid of the consumer side of it and just make it a business messenger. Problem they've got at the moment is they have three different Hangouts. So you've got We've got Hangouts, which we all know, which is instant messaging, video chat, sharing documents and things like that, group chats, and as we're doing this Hangouts on air at the moment. Then you've got Hangouts Chat, which is the new Slack competitor. And then you've also got Hangouts Meet, which is like just a video Hangouts. Why these all can't be inside just Hangouts doesn't make any sense, why you've got to have these three different apps, because as you can see now, we're using the standard Hangouts and we're quite easily able to do a video call. Hangouts, I'm going to start with Hangouts Meet, which is the new video app. So you know, you probably remember that I'm a big fan of Appear.in, which is a very simple messaging program. You know, no plugins, nothing required. It's just a URL that you share with somebody, and they can join the video conversation. But basically, Hangouts Meet is a copy of that. So it's just a pure video app. Up to 25 people can be in the video at one time. If you're on the enterprise package, it can have up to 30 people. It has the ability on the enterprise package for a dial-in phone number, so people can actually dial into the meeting and listen to it, but it's currently just US-based. Hopefully that will be coming to the UK. There was a bit of discussion in the background that we'd quite like to have it on the business package as well as a pay-as-you-go option, because at the moment it's just for the enterprise. But Meet doesn't require any logins and stuff like that, because if we go back to Hangouts, when it originally started, it was very integrated into Google+. And that caused issues because it required people to have a Google Plus account to be able to talk, and they might not be in your company, they might not be using Google Apps. Yeah. So it was a bit of a nuisance. They dropped that, dropped it late, but they dropped it about 2 years after Google Plus came out, the login requirements. I guess the damage has sort of been done. People were kind of avoiding Hangouts, and they were using Skype and other things like that. So this is Google trying to come back and make it easy for people to have video calls. So Hangouts Meet is just basically a URL that you share with somebody and those people can just join that meeting. Hangouts Chat is the interesting one. So Hangouts Chat is the competitor to Slack. Well, it will be at some point. I've got early access to it at the moment. It's very basic. I don't use it because I think it's too basic. I have more features in the current Hangouts program that we're using at the moment. But it will have nice features with Google Docs and all the Google Suite. So if you put a URL, it will embed the document into the chat. It has an interesting feature where a single chat can be separated into multiple chats. So they're using quite a lot of AI bots in there. So for example, we could create a chat room and let's call it marketing chat room. And generally, we're talking about marketing in there. And it will kind of it will automatically surface the chats inside that marketing room to the top that it feels are relevant to you. So say, for example, if we started talking about lunch at some point, well, lunch is going to be relevant for maybe an hour or so on that day. So then that's going to be surfaced near the top around lunchtime because, hey, you probably want to know where your mates are going for food and you might want to join them. Or if you're having a client a lunch meeting where the location is. And then later in the day, that would just like drop down the chat window so you wouldn't see it as much and more relevant stuff would reappear. So it's using a lot of AI in there. But it's in early access, you can't really demo it because you can't actually talk to people external of your own domain at the moment. That should be launching this year, Q4, I think.
Exciting moment, and Google using the AI aspect is to differentiate itself from Slack. One of the biggest challenges I have with Slack, and I'll put it out there, I'm a huge fan. I use Slack internally with my team, use it for a number of other projects. But the biggest challenge you have with Slack is in a thriving community, you know, with dozens or even hundreds of users, it just becomes unwieldy. You know, you can't keep track. It's like watching The Matrix. It just, all this data disappears off. So that idea of using AI to bring the most relevant conversations to the top without any manual intervention, that could be a game changer. That could really differentiate this product away from Slack.
That's when Google renamed Google Apps to G Suite, they kind of changed the focus. So G Suite is going to have a lot of AI involved into it. The idea is to get rid of all the mundane tasks that you get forced to do. As you know, with Smart Reply and Inbox, which we'll go on to our next topic, I guess.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that now, because I'm excited. And on the subject of AI, you know, this from everything that we spoke about with Google Cloud Next and the announcements and things, the AI element is one of the most important, and it seems to be playing into a lot of what Google are doing. Talk about Smart Reply specifically, because I think this is going to be a godsend to a lot of people, isn't it? They're really going to like it. Tell us more about it.
It is, because I guess me and you always hear people struggling about their emails, and they tend to be using Outlook, but we don't hear it so much from people who are using Gmail. Smart Reply is currently available in Inbox by Gmail, which is the other way of viewing your emails. But Smart Reply is going to be coming to Gmail this year, very soon, hopefully. What Smart Reply does is it analyzes the emails that you've been sent, and it will automatically write three quick responses for you to pick from. So all you have to do is, if you're on your mobile, it's a one-tap thing. If it's on your computer, it's a one-mouse click. You click on the response you want, it will automatically stick it into the email, and you can hit send, and off it goes. The response is, it learns from how you normally respond to people, so it kind of uses the same kind of wording that you would. It won't go and pick some mad word that no one's ever heard of, and they've got to look it up in a dictionary. It will be very simple. But it takes over the really mundane stuff, like so someone sends you an email saying, "Hey, James, yeah, great, can we meet at 3 p.m. on Friday?" And, you know, you just it will just come back with an option saying, "Yes, that's great. No, I can't do 3 p.m. Hopefully at some point it will say, "No, I can't do 3 p.m. But how about this time?" Because it will have a look in your calendar and say you're free on this time. And then you can just quickly respond without having to waste your time, having to look for all these possibilities of when you're free. It is a really smart thing. It's going to work well.
Okay, I'd like to briefly pause for a second to let you know about my new book, The IT Business Owner's Survival Guide. I'm the former owner of an IT managed service provider business myself, so I know exactly what it's like to struggle to cope with the day-to-day stresses of running an IT business. I know there are days or even weeks when you get frustrated and wonder whether it's all worth it to go it alone. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be like that. The IT Business Owner's Survival Guide contains a collection of easy-to-digest guides and tips on how to cope with the common tasks that cause IT business owners worry and stress. If you want to learn how to save time, avoid stress, and build a successful IT business, then you don't have to do it alone. You can buy the IT Business Owner's Survival Guide from Amazon or visit itbusinesssurvivalguide.com and download the first chapter for free. That's itbusinesssurvivalguide.com.
And without going off at too much of a tangent here, we're here to talk about Google Tool, but this whole idea of AI, I think it's probably worth sharing with listeners and viewers. When you and I came to put this time in the diary for us to talk together, we're both very busy running around. You're a new dad, you're an entrepreneur, you've got businesses on the go. Rather than going backwards and forwards, or even involving members of our team to bring that together, to delegate it, we did something quite interesting. Perhaps you can share how we organized this meeting.
So yeah, we used a service called X.AI, which is an AI based, or it specializes just on meetings. So my AI is a lady called Amy Ingram. She doesn't exist at all, apart from on a big cloud computer somewhere. That she's connected to my Google Calendar. So when Richard wanted to meet up with this, I said, "Yes, Richard, this is fine. This is great. I'm going to CC Amy in, and she's going to find a date for us." What Amy does is she then looks into my calendar. She'll suggest some times to Richard, but Richard can reply in natural language, just how he'd normally talk to somebody. Say, "Yes, I can do that date," or "No, I can't do it this date. How about that?" And she takes over the booking for me. So she arranged this podcast was arranged between Amy and AI and Richard. And all I had to do at the end was just say, "Yes, that's fine." I think you had a number of emails because you had to reschedule it as well.
We did. So we were intrigued, weren't we? I mean, we got in touch on Hangout. So this meeting, this podcast we got here was originally set for 24 hours from now. And there was a little bit of conflict on my side, scheduling conflict. So I got in touch and said, "Hey, James, are you free?" And of course, you did the smart thing and said, "Well, yes, I am. Speak to Amy and reschedule it." So I literally dropped Amy, your AI calendar. I dropped her an email and said, "Amy, look, I can't do that day after all. Can we do it 24 hours earlier?" And Amy came back and said, "Yeah, absolutely, we can do that. The calendar invite was updated. It appeared in both of our calendars. Bosh, away it goes." Phenomenal. Works really well. And I was intrigued, actually. We didn't do this because we're not cruel enough to, but my PA, Holly, who is a real person, we just wondered what would happen if we connected Amy and Holly, whether they would get the job done just as well. But perhaps that's a test we can do for another day.
I've read a few things on the internet where people have done that and they've not realised they're talking to an AI, so it works well.
I think if you hadn't have told me, I probably wouldn't have guessed it was an AI. And I was using absolute natural language. You know, I wasn't changing the language that I used specifically because I knew I was talking to a robot. So really interesting. And we'll include that in the show notes for anybody else to take a look at. I know you're quite privileged because you're cutting edge with these things. You've got onto that, the beta program for that, but it's not a public beta at the moment. But let's move back to Google then, if we can. Still on the subject of AI, there was a number of calendar updates, weren't there, which also included some interesting AI features.
Well, the main thing with calendar is actually it's going to have a redesign in 2017. The web version looks a bit dated. It's sort of been forgotten about. It works well. It's clear enough to see, but it's not the material design that everything else is. So if you look on your iPad or your Android phone, it looks a hell of a lot nicer, and that has AI built into it. So for example, you can tell, say if you wanted to basically go to the gym every day or do a bit of exercise, on the mobile version of Google Calendar, you can say, hey, I want to do 30 minutes of exercise every day. Can you find a slot when I can do it? And it will ask you if you want morning, afternoon, or evening. And you just tap on that, and it's going to program it in for you, and it's going to find times that you can go and do these exercises.
That was what was known as Google Goals. Is that still the case, or is it just a Google mobile feature now?
I think it's just built into the Google Calendar app, so I don't think it's got a special name anymore. Google Calendar web version, it's going to have a redesign, so hopefully some of this AI stuff will come into it, and it'll just look a bit more up to date. Because Gmail's having a redesign as well. They didn't actually mention this, but I spotted it in a slide, the slide they were showing when they were mentioning the smart replies and the snooze feature. It had a different looking Gmail in the background. And so that's going to have like a material design redesign and look very nice. The one reason for that is there's a new thing coming to Gmail, which I forgot to mention. It's called add-ons.
Okay.
At the moment, you can put extensions on Google Chrome, and they had a bit of functionality down the right-hand side of Gmail. But that's playing with the CSS and the coding of Gmail to add that functionality to the right of your inbox. So what add-ons are, they're actually an official way for apps to interact with Gmail using an official API. So it's got some really cool features on that, in that, say, for example, you're talking to a lead and you happen to also use ProsperWorks as your CRM. It's one of the initial partners. Gmail will detect that you're talking to a lead, and on the right-hand side of that email, it will pop up with a ProsperWorks icon. That's on your web version or your app version on your mobile phone. Tap that icon and ProsperWorks will load inside of Gmail, allowing you to look into this contact, see details when you last had a meeting with them, what you were discussing, those kind of things on the fly. And on your mobile phone, it will do that without you having to leave the app and go into ProsperWorks and then come back. It will just slide up onto your screen. You can see what you need to do what you want to do, slide it back down, and you're back to the email message that you were going to send.
Wow. So there's lots of cool stuff coming for Gmail. Can I still call it Gmail?
That's the name, yeah. Google Mail.
But there's one other AI feature that I noticed, and I think this mostly went overlooked, but it could be interesting to a lot of listeners, and that is the AI that Google is going to use within the calendar for meeting room bookings. So if there's a number of you within the business, did you come across that one yourself, where they basically compare everybody's calendars?
Yes, that's a one-click function. So you want to book a meeting, you can tell it to find a time. It's also a bot actually inside the new Hangouts chat. So if you're chatting to your team and hey, you want to get a meeting quickly, you can just say @meet, arrange a meeting now or arrange a meeting tomorrow, and it will find a time where everyone in that team is free, and it will automatically just stick it on their calendar and job's done.
Yeah. Well, again, another great use of AI. And this is not futuristic. This is not pie in the sky. This is AI used to make a difference to, you know, what people are doing on a day-to-day basis right now. So I think that's the most exciting thing about it.
Yeah, unless you get on with doing what you really want to do rather than having to...
running your business rather than scheduling meetings and replying to yes, no to emails and things like that.
It's probably a good time to be a PA.
Don't mention that to Holly. She'll get paranoid about it. But so there was another feature that Google mentioned. I just want to touch on it. I don't think it's going to be relevant for the majority of our audience, who tend to be IT companies that are looking after small and medium-sized businesses. Google Jamboard, whiteboard. What is that, and why am I excited about it purely from a geeky, techie perspective?
Well, from a techie perspective, it's a very cool device. It's basically a TV screen. It uses a capacitive stylus, so it doesn't a capacitive one. It doesn't need a battery anyway, and I think that's the capacitive ones. It's a whiteboard, and so it will link up with other Jamboards in other offices you may have around the country or the world, and it allows you to basically doodle on it, add pictures, do mind maps, whatever you want to do with someone else. Somewhere with another team elsewhere, so you can all see it in real time what's going on. It saves to Google Drive, so you can always go back to it. So you don't have to write a message on the whiteboard, please don't rub off and please don't clear kind of thing. So all that data saved in your Google Drive, you can get back to it whenever you want and carry on. I don't think I have an issue with it in that I think it's super pricey. I think it's about $6,000 upwards. I don't think it's going to be any good for, it could be good, but I don't think any small or mid-sized businesses.
Yeah, it's unlikely small businesses are going to want to lay down $6,000. Although the whole whiteboard market is progressing, isn't it? Mostly in the education scene. So perhaps one to keep an eye on for the future, but exciting technology nevertheless.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah. There's some demos of it at Next 17, actually. Cool. One of the things I have on top show to demo.
Yeah, so purely from a techie perspective, if you've got $6,000, if your clients have got $6,000 to spend on a whiteboard, it's going to be a good one to look at. I suspect most of the people who are going to be listening and watching our conversation today have clients whose budget are slightly less than that, but we'll see. If you know anybody using Google Jamboard, get in touch and drop James or me a shout out. So we've talked about a lot of features. We talked about AI. What else was happening at Google Cloud Next? Is there anything that maybe I missed and with your eagle eyes you caught?
Probably on the spot now. Show notes on that one. It was a cool event. There was about 4,500 people there. They could have brought a few more demos on, to be honest. There wasn't wasn't that much interesting, but they had a lot of partners there. So they're people that Google now has G Suite approved vendors. These are people who have to do extra. So you have people like Ring Central and Dialpad, which provide VoIP services, but these are going to integrate really deeply into Gmail with the new add-on feature for Gmail. So they had quite a few of these guys here, and it was nice chatting to them and seeing what they're doing and what features they're going to be adding on there. Breakout sessions were great. That's where they went into specifics of certain areas of each product. So I was going to the G Suite focused ones, but because it's Google Cloud, they had lots of other ones which were all about coding and stuff that I'm not that great at. So I kind of missed those ones, but it was really, really good.
Yeah. And, I'm sad to have missed it myself. I was otherwise engaged, but having taken a trip to Google HQ myself, in Google HQ in Dublin, I should say, last year, absolutely blown away by what Google have got coming down the line, a lot of which we can't speak about publicly here. But it's exciting times to be a Google partner. How are your clients finding the difference Google has made to their business?
Well, first off, thanks for rubbing it in about going to Google HQ Island. I still haven't been invited.
I'm flabbergasted. Why not? Yeah, and they've got a restaurant on every floor, which was my favourite feature of Google HQ. Right. But anyway,
did you see anything? Are you in the restaurants all the time?
I actually did take some time out to go and visit the Google people. I didn't just spend all the time in the restaurant. So,
what was the final part of the question again?
Your clients. So you've adopted Google across the board. I was intrigued. It's all well and good for you and I as two techies to talk about this, to get excited about new features. But what is it meaning in the real world for people? Have you had any interesting stories coming out of some of your clients recently who have adopted Google?
Well, it's the AI that they're really liking. It's just simple stuff like Smart Reply. So one of our clients is an accountancy firm. They're the big Xero guys, and Xero plugs in really nicely with G Suite. And they've actually flicked all over to Inbox by by Gmail, just because it's got the snooze feature for email, so you can tell them to go away and come back at a different time. And the smart reply, just because they save so much time, because as an accountant, they get a lot of yes, no questions from clients. You know, is this the right stuff I've sent you, that kind of thing. So smart reply, they can just hit yes, this is great, this is the right stuff. And it actually saves them a hell of a lot of time rather than having to type out an email each time or use a template. So it's the AI, which is what people really notice when they move to G Suite, especially now with the AI getting improved all the time. For example, Google Sheets has a new AI in it, which allows you to use natural language to get it to do things for you. So rather than having to know a complex formula, in the box in the top right-hand corner, you can just type in what you want it to do, say, create a pie chart create a profit and loss pie chart. And it will find that data on that spreadsheet, and it will just build a pie chart there for you without you having to manually select the rows and the cells and stuff like that. So AI is really taking over.
Incredible. And I think these are some of the features that, whilst on the surface they sound quite basic, or let me rephrase that, they're actually features that you think, that's not going to save me too much time. But having used them myself, I know as soon as you start using them, you can never go back. It just becomes the new normal. You know, the bar is set so much higher. I adopted Google Apps probably, what was it, 6 or 7 years ago now, after being a Microsoft partner in my previous life as an IT business owner. And I said that I would never give up Outlook, for instance. I remember having the conversation with you about it. And within, 24, 48 hours of using Gmail, I'm like, I love this thing. And so it is one of those ones, I think, that people have got used to using the Microsoft software, used to using traditional packages. And it is a culture shock to move across to the Google stuff. But as soon as you do, you immediately start seeing the benefits, and you can never turn back, really.
That's completely true. One of the hidden benefits is the fact that when you're putting Microsoft Office in, your client's kind of wasting a lot of money, because they're paying for Microsoft Office, and 90% of those features in Office, their employees aren't going to be using. They're going to So there's just 10% of features used. And how I normally look at it is that Gmail focuses on the 10% of features that people actually use and gets them really spot on with AI and stuff like that. Yeah. Who needs 3D Word out these days?
We're going to get a flood. You realise we're going to get a flood of tweets and things from people now saying, I use 3D Word Art every day. on that subject, thanks so much for your time today, James. You've shared with us all the background, Google Cloud Next 17. It's been really interesting to hear about all the products, all the product features and updates that Google are bringing out. If anybody watching or listening to this wants to get in touch with you and find out a little bit more, where did I find Kimberly IT and where did I find you specifically?
So yeah, Kimberly IT is at kimbley.com, which is K-I-M for Mike, B-L-E-Y.com. You can get me on Twitter at Jimbo Kimbo or at Kimberly IT. I'm also on Google Plus if you want to go on there and actually use it. If you go to jameskimberly.com, that will take you directly to my Google Plus profile. You can see what I've been posting and things about Google that I post on there.
And I'd also recommend to anybody following this who's intrigued at James's journey, entrepreneur, how he's made a business out of supporting clients, specifically with Google. Check out James's founder diaries. And you've also just started a recent audio series, haven't you, where you're giving updates to people who are interested on your journey as a businessman, really?
Yeah, that's correct. So I've got a founder's log, which can be found on soundcloud.com. And it's not got a set schedule. I just record a bit of audio when I've got something interesting to say that's happened in Kimberly IT or something I found out or useful information.
Yeah, well worth checking out. Now, I can't leave you without trying to squeeze one final tip out of you. Based on everything we've spoken about here, is there anything that me, James, as a Google user, perhaps I'm not doing at the moment that you think I should be doing? Anything at all?
Well, you should be dropping Evernote and moving to Google Keep.
Wow, no, Evernote is my modern Outlook. It's one of those ones that I think I could never give it up. Tell me why I should be quitting Evernote and moving to Google.
There's a lot of AI inside Google Keep now, and it's also, I think it's become a core product of G Suite. Anyway, it's been integrated into Google Docs now, so you can quickly, whatever notes you've been taking in Google Keep, you can quickly have them transferred into a proper document, into Google Docs. You can also load Google Keep up in the sidebar now in Google Docs, so if you are referring to those notes, you can get to them really quickly and you can drag and drop them into your document and any photos you've taken and things like that. But yeah, I use Google all the time.
I know you're a big fan of Google Keep. I've drunk, as well as the Google Kool-Aid, I've drunk the Evernote Kool-Aid and have done for a number of years. So that's going to be a big shift for me, but I promise I will give Google Keep another look at that. James, thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. Congratulations on being becoming a dad recently as well. Fantastic news. And congratulations on all the success of Kimberly IT and everything else that you're doing in business. It's really good to see. Thanks again for your time today. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we will look forward to hopefully seeing you on Twitter or, dare I say, Google Plus really soon. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Tub Talk, the podcast for IT business owners. You can find the show notes and bonus content for this interview, along with dozens of other interviews with IT business leaders, over at www.tubblog.co.uk. If you enjoyed this podcast, then we'd really appreciate you rating and reviewing the show over at iTunes. Every review helps us reach new listeners and helps raise the bar for success in the IT industry. In our next episode, Richard speaks with Rick Yates to discuss Zsphere's modern distribution model to deliver solutions from a single source. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak with you next episode. Have a great day.
Okay, I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsors, The Email Laundry. The Email Laundry combines security services with your customer's preferred email service to give them a truly enterprise-worthy email system. Well, what does that mean? Well, as an IT business, whether your customers are using Office 365, Hosted Exchange, an on-site Exchange server, or any other type of email solution, cloud-based email security from The Email Laundry is a neat and effective solution for your customer. It will block spam and virus email with an impressive catch rate. Put simply, when your customer's email server is protected behind the Email Laundry, they'll thank you for the security it offers them. Now, the Email Laundry are offering free email security for your own domain to all listeners to this podcast. All you have to do is to sign up for a free partner account through the special listener URL, www.theemaillaundry.com/tublog. Use that link to have your own domain filtered for free for 1 year. And there's more to this special offer. If you bring on board 100 paying mailboxes during your first 6 months, the Email Laundry will give you your own domain for free for another 12 months. So that means 2 years of the Email Laundry service for your own domain for free. Sign up for the Email Laundry now using the special listener offer at www.theemaillaundry.com/tublog.